Hello and welcome to Dealcast from Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham. Now, it's providing some box office worthy drama for the end of 2025. A bidding war has broken out over one of Hollywood's oldest studios. It's a story that involves a colourful cast list, including the president's son-in-law and one of the world's richest men. On one side, there's Netflix, the world's biggest streaming service, which is looking to expand its offering. On the other, there's the film studio Paramount. And in Paramount's corner, there are some big hitters from both the business world and the political arena. Now, the two sides are both trying to buy Warner Bros. Discovery, Warner Brothers being one of the oldest and most renowned Hollywood studios. And it turns out that Paramount had been wooing Warner Bros. For some time before Netflix came along and crashed the party. But the drama isn't what's happening on screen, it's what's unfolding politically. To find out more, I'm joined by Ruben Miller, who is the Global Chief Regulatory Editor for Merger Market. Welcome, Ruben. So let's start by laying out this deal. We've got two potential buyers for Warner Bros. Discovery. We've got Paramount, which has been trying to buy Warner Bros. For several years and was in the process of finalising a deal just last week. We're recording this on Wednesday, the 10th of December. But at the very last minute, Netflix stepped in and seemingly stole the crown.
That's right. Paramount really initiated this process, and Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers, took full advantage of that and really instigated, somewhat successfully, it looks like, this bidding war that included Netflix and Comcast as kind of a dark horse. Paramount, Skydance, was clearly in the catbird seat here. And as you say, at the last minute, Netflix, for the moment at least, is walking away with the prize.
Yeah, so Netflix is offering $23.25 per share, and Paramount's offer is much higher at $30 per share. We know the facts of the deal, but some of the details in it are really interesting. In the SEC filing from Paramount, it's been set out in detail all of the talks that have taken place between Paramount and Warner Brothers and a whole host of advisors over the past few months. We've got the text from text messages that were exchanged. We've heard about various meetings, including a meeting between David Ellison and the Warner Bros. CEO, David Zaslav. At Zaslav's home in Beverly Hills, there was a virtual meeting between David Ellison, his dad, Larry Ellison, who is the founder of Oracle and also one of the world's richest men. We've also got talks with John Malone, who is Paramount's chair and is a major media and telecoms mogul alongside Zaslav in that virtual meeting. We should note that John Malone has been a huge hitter previously in reshaping the media landscape. He's also known as the Cable Cowboy. Ruben, anything else that caught your eye?
Well, I think that whole SEC filing and both explicit press leaks and statements, as well as kind of in the background, Paramount's really trying to cast the narrative that the process that Warner Brothers and Zaslav in particular oriented the process towards Netflix out of some sort of favoritism. That was the primary purpose of that SEC filing, was to say, look, we've done everything right. We've tried to engage. We've tried to understand better what their asks are, both in terms of compensation and in terms of obligations in the merger agreement itself. So they're taking that and saying, we did everything right. We have a superior bid for X, Y, and Z reasons. Shareholders, you need to see this and you need to respond accordingly, which eventually will mean endorsing our bid. And frankly, Juliana, I think that's the kind of likely outcome here, is that we see Paramount take this offer even more directly to shareholders. There's media reports about David Ellison meeting with major Warner Brothers shareholders. If we see something sweetened here, I wouldn't be surprised. One that kind of flew under the radar outside of antitrust circles is that Paramount and the Ellisons brought on an attorney named Machen Delrahim, who was Trump's antitrust chief at the Department of Justice under his first tenure in office. Delrahim is the government official that went ahead and prosecuted the Time Warner AT&T merger, some speculate, at the behest of Trump. So he's really a player within the Trump organization and in the entertainment and media industry. Just a few months ago, he was brought on by the Ellisons, and he's very much a deal maker, very much a linchpin in this process, but kind of flies under the radar screen. I would not underestimate his ability to shape this process, both from the regulatory side and for the bidding.
Okay. Can we talk briefly about the other deals that are kind of below the headlines of these two deals? Because both of them are relevant. Can you briefly outline what those are? Firstly, Paramount and Skydance, and then on to the Warner Bros. Discovery separation.
Right. And they're both very crucial to this. What the Skydance acquisition of Paramount showed us is that, A, the Ellisons are hugely acquisitive, are creating a media empire, call it center-right, call it, this century's news core. But through their acquisition of Paramount, they agreed to a number of conditions that the Trump administration asked of them, doing away with DEI programs, diversity of media viewpoints, which in this case means more conservative actors. There was, some would say censorship, some would say just kind of influence over the Paramount news properties. Certain people have been put in place. All of this is to say they've really shown that they'll play ball with the Trump administration. And that has put them in a very advantageous regulatory and political situation here. And that has done a lot to shape the bidding and their path through the regulatory process. As far as the spinning off of Warner Brothers broadcast assets, that goes hand in hand with the Netflix bid, where Netflix is going for the studios and the streaming assets, spinning off the broadcast assets, whereas Paramount's going for the whole kit and caboodle here. That interjects a little bit of squishiness to the Netflix bid, where investors and shareholders and Warner Brothers need to come to their own conclusion of the standalone value of those broadcasting assets and lump that into the compensation that Netflix is offering for the SNS, the streaming and studio businesses. The Paramount bid is more straightforward. It's for the entire company. What you're being offered is what you're going to get. There's less squishiness involved in that.
And just to point out that the spin-off of global networks, that comprises CNN, Discovery, TNT Sports. So we'll come on to CNN and the more political element in a moment. So Ruben, you are the global chief regulatory editor. We could talk about the details of this deal all day, but let's focus on your area of expertise, the regulatory and political aspects. Starting with the Netflix offer, what are the traditional antitrust concerns?
The primary antitrust concern here would be horizontal in nature, and that's bundling these two leading streaming services together. And if you were to carve out the market for the streaming platforms that we all recognize, the market share here is indeed high and likely above the thresholds that the antitrust agencies guide for here. However, Netflix is going to go into the Department of Justice and in front of the Trump administration officials and say, look, no, we're not just competing with these other streaming platforms. We are competing with linear television. We think we are competing with the YouTubes of the world. And even further afield, the TikToks and short-form video social media platforms. What that may look like is them going into the antitrust division and saying, hey, the relevant product market needs to be hours watched of television. And that would expand the scope of competitors, lessen the market share impact. And if that product market was indeed accepted by the Department of Justice, this should have a clear path through. However, that product market definition is going to be argued and likely litigated here But that's the key question. What product market definition will the Department of Justice accept for that bid?
Okay, and turning our attention to the Paramount offer, what will be the key antitrust and other wider regulatory concerns for that deal? It feels like Paramount has given this a lot of thought and they want to avoid filing with the Committee on Foreign Investment in the US, or CFIUS, the body which oversees certain deals involving foreign investment.
Right. So CFIUS is a bit of a sideshow here. Yes, it is a box that they're going to need to check. They've structured the financing from the Gulf states in a way that they're claiming is passive. They have written into their merger agreement that CFIUS approval will not be a condition to close the deal, but that they may make that filing. Because of the passive role of those foreign investors, because of Jared Kushner's involvement here, I'm thinking that CFIUS is not a real risk to the transaction. The antitrust landscape does merit some concern, will likely merit some scrutiny, but is less concerning than that of Netflix. For the Paramount bid, we're looking at a number of concerns here. A lot of that has to do with the consolidation of the studios and the effect on wages paid to the creative industry in Hollywood, the amount of theatrical releases that will precipitate from this. And then there's the CNN-CBS overlap bit. There's a chance that the government regulators may order that CNN be divested, which would be a pretty clean fix as far as that concern is relevant. But all in all, the Paramount bid carries with it less traditional concern, and we haven't even broached the political favoritism that kind of is at the heart of all of this.
Great. Well, we'll come on to that very shortly. But could you just go into a little bit more detail about the spin that both of the bidders are likely to put on this and how the Department of Justice is likely to approach it, given that Paramount has done the deal recently when it was acquired by Skydance, which just completed in August this year, and the fact that there have been loads of other media, TV, streaming mergers over recent years? Won't some of that work have been done already with loads of precedents?
Yes, absolutely, Juliana. You're absolutely right. At this point, the Ellison family are known quantities to the Trump administration. I'd say favored sons. They have a leg up. They did everything that the Trump administration asked of them in Paramount. And they're likely to cast a pro-competitive narrative here. Warner Brothers is not thriving with this parent-sponsor relationship. They'll have more money to produce more films, bigger films. They'll be able to consolidate some of the streaming opportunities. So they're going to be casting a pro-competitive narrative here, which has some legitimacy. Clearly, there are some consolidation and viewpoint perspective concerns, especially when we're talking about the broadcasting divisions. More so than that, I think that the 10,000-foot view here is we have the Trump administration's endorsement to build a conservative media empire, and this is a crucial step that we must take. And that looked like the right argument for a couple weeks in the run-up to this, and I still believe carries with it a lot of impact. That being said, Trump himself has made a number of comments denigrating the role that the Ellison family has had in their new ownership over Paramount. He's made a number of comments about these are not great friends of mine, which, you know, is a slight adjustment from these are friends of mine to these are not great friends of mine. He's entertained Netflix's CEO Sarandos at the White House. He made very positive comments about Sarandos recently. So some of that favoritism seems to be in a little bit of flux at the moment. And there's been some pushback that Paramount may have overplayed its hands here.
Okay, well, let's stay with that political aspect of it. As you say, Donald Trump's weighed in on this on both sides. He said that Netflix maybe has too much market share. And now he's saying a few different things about the Paramount bid. We've got his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, involved. We've got the Ellisons, the father and son, who are friends, but not great friends, of Trump, and also a few sovereign wealth funds. Could you elaborate a bit on how this could play out with the political agenda and whether it will be used to push that right-wing media agenda, which will ultimately be more friendly to Trump?
Yeah, I think you've done a good job of defining and the parameters of that debate. I almost think about it as this is the onus is on Netflix to come up with some reason to switch Trump's endorsement. I think our base case here has to be that Trump is okay with a Paramount Skydance deal. That has a fairly clear path through to regulatory approval. Netflix has the contract, though, and is seeing some opening of Trump's willingness to entertain that bid. I think Netflix is going to have to make all the traditional arguments to the Department of Justice. They're going to have to go through that process. But the big X factor to me here, Juliana, is that Netflix is going to have to come up with some creative way to win Trump's endorsement. And at this point, I'm entertaining every idea possible. Netflix has a contract with Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, to produce a series on Netflix. Could they cancel that? Would that provide enough cover amongst the conservative ecosystem for Trump to switch allegiances? You may be aware that Amazon paid $40 million for the rights of Melania Trump's life story and is producing a film on that. Could they do something similar on a bigger scale for Trump himself? His life story rights for $1 billion. You know, that's highly speculative. But that's where my mind goes when I think about what can Netflix do to flip Trump's endorsement here. And I think that's the key next event that we're going to be needing to watch beyond whether or not Paramount sweetens the compensation for its deal.
Okay, it feels like there are so many different aspects to this deal and so many big figures involved. As you say, you're reviewing every possible option and outcome of what could happen. What are your sources telling you about how they think it will play out?
There's a mix of sources I speak to, both on the political side, the regulatory side, as well as the shareholder side. And I think one of the key things to realize here is that the Paramount bid is competitive. The compensation of the Paramount bid is competitive with the Netflix bid, but much more simple, right? There's not the separate spinoff of the Discovery assets. The regulatory path looks more clear. So I think that Paramount is in a good position here. If they can get enough shareholder support, their bid is competitive, if not more appealing on the compensation figures. They have done a good job of demonstrating that there's a regulatory path through. They have filed with the antitrust agencies with their hostile bid. If they can somehow expedite approval of that, get an early termination, and have the HSR approval in hand, that's going to go a really, really long way with shareholders that would already be inclined to endorse that bid and go with Paramount. If I was making bold predictions here, although the prize is in Netflix's shopping cart here, I think it's going to be Paramount that walks out the door with it.
Okay, you've heard it here first, Ruben's prediction. Rounding it up, can we talk about the impact on consumers? How will it affect the industry structure when it comes to TV, when it comes to films? How will it impact me and what I can watch on Netflix or on any other streaming service next Christmas?
Yeah, I think your question really gets to the heart of how regulators are going to be thinking about this, how corporate decision makers are thinking about this. On one hand, there's a concern that a consolidation of the streaming platforms will limit, will impact abilities to raise prices. It will impact the amount of options that producers and the creatives have to sell to. There's also considerations as far as theatrical releases, what you can and cannot go see in theaters. The Netflix bid has a lot of folks in the industry concerned that, oh, there'll be less theatrical productions. It will all go to streaming, which would benefit the streaming loyal customer to the detriment of the film going public, potentially, though all these things can be remedied through the regulatory process. I think most importantly, one of the pro-competitive narratives that are going to be spun by either side is studios need to be bigger. We need to have more resources. This will enable us to bid for more projects, to spend more on the production value of those efforts. And there may be some legitimacy here. I think this is going to be a calculus of, okay, with this consolidation is going to come less choice, but more well-funded, more robust studios, more robust streaming options. Does the consumer want 8 choices that have more limited catalogs, or do they want fewer choices with more robust catalogs? I think that's something that the public may not have figured out, and that corporate decision makers are trying to get in front of, with the wrinkle that they also have to sell it to governments in the US and in other relevant jurisdictions.
It feels, Ruben, like there's loads more to talk about, so I'm sure we will speak again about this deal as it unfolds. Ruben, good to talk to you. That was Ruben Miller, who's the Global Chief Regulatory Editor for Merger Market. And just to point out, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 10th of December. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it and give us a rating and review if you're on an app that supports it. To find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.